It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Bars have been an integral part of the social fabric of our country for longer than it's actually been a country. What those bars look like, though, has evolved significantly over the centuries, but there's been one constant connecting nearly all of them. As Homer Simpson put it,
to alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Look, that can be off-putting for some people. There are many reasons people don't drink, as we'll get into, but they can feel left out of the social scene, especially when the only option for socializing in a city after, say, 10 p.m. is, yes, a bar, where maybe they offer a virgin piña colada or other so-called mocktails. There's a growing contingent of businesses in Illinois and really around the world looking to change that. They go by many names, but mainly they're known simply as non-alcoholic bars. Back in September, we spoke with two people who work in the world of non-alcoholic bars. For the rest of the program today, we're going to revisit that conversation. Elizabeth Wake is the owner of The Wakery in Springfield. It's a late-night coffee shop. And Chris Jacob is general manager for The Other Side in Crystal Lake, about 45 miles northwest of Chicago. The Other Side opened its doors in 2013, and Chris came on board a few years later. Because our program's on tape, we're not taking calls live, but do let us know what you thought. The email is talk@21stshow.org. Elizabeth, I'm going to start with you and say, somebody walks into a bar. This sounds like I'm setting up a bad joke, but somebody walks into your bar. What do they see? What does it look like?
Yeah, so our walls are a beautiful deep teal. We've got a hand-painted mural with owls and birds behind the bar. And our ceiling is adorned with candelabras and real branches that we have suspended from the ceiling to give it kind of the illusion of like a candlelit forest. So we incorporated kind of like an ironic 1920s Prohibition era, like Art Deco, mixed with some kind of cottagecore vibes to create this unique and beautiful space.
Cottagecore. Well, there's a new one on me. I'm going to have to Google that. Can you say more briefly?
Yeah, just a lot of like botanicals, kind of like bringing the outside in.
Okay. I gotcha. Yeah. All right, Chris, I'm going to come to you now. Hopefully our connection's a little more solid. The Other Side reopened in a new location late last year. How is that space set up?
Well, when we walk in, you're going to come into what was an old firehouse. Originally. And so we have four different fire engine bays. It's separated into two separate areas. The side that you walk into, it gives a nice industrial feel. So we have some greenery coming through. And then we've got our lounge areas. And towards the back, we've got our high boys set up kind of by the bar area to give you kind of a separation. So as you walk in during the day, you get the feel, the comfort, cafe. You can lounge around, sit around, have a nice conversation. And then at night kind of picks up and you have the high boys and, beautiful wall decor all around. And it's modern yet industrial, it's a great combination. We've got a large garage door that kind of opens up and exposes the outside. So you kind of get like you're in a downtown Chicago type feel out in the suburbs.
Yeah.
It's kind of exciting. And then in the other side is our community room, which we offer out, for everyone to rent. And it's similar feel, a little more bare, but it allows the freedom for people to come in and kind of decorate it the way, the way they want. We've had little princess birthday parties to yoga groups to sober celebrations, so it's pretty open.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about some of the beverages here. And I should say we need to take a break in about a minute and a half, but we can get started with this. Elizabeth, I talked in the introduction about mocktails, but I understand the Wakery offers not really mocktails, but non-alcoholic cocktails. What is the difference there?
Sure. So when you think of mocktail, typically you think of like sweet, sugary juice blends. But what we create at the Wakery, I term non-alcoholic cocktails. So I can actually make you an old fashioned. I can make you a margarita, a French 75, a Manhattan, a whiskey sour, a gin fizz, a mojito, you name it. I can probably make it, but I use non-alcoholic spirits. So it still incorporates the same taste of a cocktail, which is why I don't like to term them mocktails, because they do still taste like an alcoholic cocktail. They just use a non-alcoholic spirit.
I got to say, I had heard of non-alcoholic beer, but when we were going over this with the producers this morning, non-alcoholic whiskey and tequila and things like that, mm-hmm. I was not aware of that product category. But these are out there, I take it.
They are. Yeah, it's a really fascinating new genre of products. And they incorporate different spices and botanicals to mimic that quintessential burn and like mouthfeel that you get from an alcohol.
Interesting. All right, we need to take a quick break on the program. We are revisiting our conversation from September with two people in Illinois who run non-alcoholic bars. These are bars that follow a lot of the same aesthetics you might expect out of an alcoholic bar, but without the alcohol. They're on the rise around the world and here in the U.S. We're going to take a quick break. More on this when we return. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. If you're just joining us, it's The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're listening back to a conversation originally broadcast in September about the growth of non-alcoholic bars in Illinois. These are places that, at least socially, function like bars, but with a key difference. They do not serve alcohol. They've been around in Chicago for about the past decade, so one of the people we spoke to was the general manager of the first sober bar in Illinois. Chris Jacob manages The Other Side in Crystal Lake. The first non-alcoholic bar in recent history, downstate Illinois, opened last year. We had the owner of it with us, Elizabeth Wake of The Wakery in Springfield. As a reminder, our program's on tape today, but let us know what you think about this or any other conversation by emailing talk@21stshow.org. Okay, back to our conversation on non-alcoholic bars. So, before the break, we were talking with Elizabeth a little bit about the idea of mocktails and the proliferation of non-alcoholic spirits that have come online in the last decade or so. But Chris, The Other Side is much less focused on the non-alcoholic cocktails and more on other kinds of drinks, right? Kombucha, cold brew, and so on. Talk about that. What's the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, absolutely. We do touch on the mocktails as well, but to kind of speak on Elizabeth's note first, that they generally are like sweet, really sugary syrups. And we tend to build them a little differently and steer away from, you know, just drinking sweet syrup. So we kind of use some vinegars and acid blends to kind of to get that little bite to mimic that. But because of who we are, we steer clear of the non-alcoholic whiskeys and gins and so on, because New Directions Addiction Recovery Services is the nonprofit that we are a project of. So we really are a core piece of the recovery community in McHenry County. So for us to kind of have something that directly mimics an old-fashioned everything is kind of counterproductive to a large portion of, you know, our clientele. So we kind of steer away from that. We do a lot of our, obviously, coffee beverages and everything. And we have some fun with the mocktails still and try to keep them away from being just a pure sugar drinks, because that's kind of boring, if you ask me.
No, I hear you on that. Maybe for some of our listeners who are fortunate enough to not have personal experience with substance use disorder or recovery or family experience with that, can you talk a little bit more about why a mocktail might be a bad idea for someone who's in recovery?
Sure. And, you know, with our doors being open to the whole community, whether they're in recovery or not, we tend to focus more towards the recovery personnel, because, you know, if you're working through a situation where, you obviously can't control your drinking, you're out and about, you know, if you're going to walk into a sober bar and then, you know, pick up an old fashioned that, you know, could instantly ignite some feelings and stored memories that you have in your brain that will take you right back to when you were drinking. And then at that point, you're like, well, why am I drinking this? Why don't I go get the real thing? So it could take some people out of their recovery journey and kind of set them back to ground zero, which is what we want to avoid. And, you know, just help, you know, people in recovery just continue to thrive and be able to do some fun things as well, you know, and give a good place to go.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. So, Elizabeth, what about you? What gave you the idea to open the Wakery?
Sure. So I came to a point, I do drink alcohol on occasion. And so my husband and I would go out to dinner and split a bottle of wine, and we'd want to keep the night going and go somewhere else. But the only options really were to go to another restaurant, which we'd already eaten, or to a bar. And after I have two drinks, that is absolutely my limit. And so if I want to keep the night going, or I want to go out later in the night or go out with friends, and I hit my limit, what else is there for me? And there's just that temptation to keep drinking and to go past your limit. So I really wanted a space that was welcoming to those who are sober, sober curious, looking to drink less, or simply done drinking for the night. And so I wanted to offer a fun space with delicious drinks for all of the fun, but none of the regret. And just like Chris says, like, if you are in recovery, we make sure to be specific on our menu at the Wakery that we note which things do mimic the taste of alcohol and which things do not. We do have like limeades, we have bitters and soda, we have fall offerings like a pumpkin juice and a butter beer that do not taste like alcohol at all. So we want to make sure that for those who are looking to not have a trigger of an alcohol taste, that we include those other things on the menu. But for me, I just really wanted a space that when you want to be out late at night, but you don't want to keep drinking or you want something else, there just wasn't a space for that. So I decided to create it.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, the other side's history goes back, I guess, like I said, what, a little more than a decade? You came on board in the last few years. How did you get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I got the new space, new location, they were kind of giving the whole project like a facelift, quote unquote, and kind of make it their grown-up version, you know. And I myself had gone through my path of recovery, you know. I was in service industry, you know, 21, 24 years, somewhere around there. I was a chef, and it was just filled with lots of drinking and partying and going mm-hmm. out. So I had gone through my phase of recovery and met the owners of a great local recovery center here in Crystal Lake. And they also had connections and sat on the board of this nonprofit project, New Directions. And we spoke about, you know, what they're looking to do. And I'm like, well, hey, listen, given my history and I can manage things, like, let's get together and start building this out. So we did. And it's been great, and a lot of great feedback from everyone in the community. You know, and it's fun to work with different, you know, restaurants and other people, and like Elizabeth's Bar, like that stuff is great. And we absolutely love it. And just see that there's a lot more people out there making like these healthier choices, you know, whether they drink 6 days a week or not, and they take a day off, or, you know, cut it for the night. It's just, it's wonderful to be the project, you know, part of this project and collaborate with a lot of other people in the community about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Elizabeth, what has been the community reaction to this idea? And I guess maybe we can even go back to the planning stages. This is, as we've said, by definition, it's kind of an unusual business concept. I wonder if that presented any obstacles when you were, you know, putting together the business type things one has to do. I don't know if there were loans involved or how much you want to get into that, but, you know, convincing people that this was going to be a good idea.
Yeah, I of course was nervous because it is not a very common business idea. And so I wanted to gauge the community support first. And so a year before we opened, I put out a public survey out there, and I got about 2,000 responses back, and 98% all said, yes, we absolutely would love to have a non-alcoholic bar. And so I started from there, and I started creating some drinks and and took it to our local farmers market and sold out every week. I had to double production each week and still sold out. Bought a new fridge to double production again and still sold out. And so the response was very positive right from the get-go. So I decided, okay, I want to see, really, is the community willing to put money behind this? So I started a Kickstarter campaign and raised almost $12,000 with that. So saw that the community was definitely supportive of the idea and even went beyond that. And I applied for a local grant. A car dealership was doing a grant for downtown businesses. And so I applied for this grant through Isringhausen Imports and I received the grant. So it was a $20,000 grant for a new startup and just saw that this business that had been really successful for 40 years said, yes, we believe in your business plan. We believe in your mission, in your vision, and what you're doing for Springfield. And so all of that combined, I felt really empowered that I had the community support behind this. And our opening day, we had a line around the block for hours of people just waiting to get in. Mm. And that has continued. And I will look around the bar. It was a couple weeks in, and I looked around and I did not recognize a single face. It was a fully packed bar, wall to wall, did not know a single person in there. And that's when I really felt like, yeah, we're going to make it, because it's not just my family and friends who are supporting me. It's total strangers who are excited about this. And so I'm excited to stick around for a long time.
Help me defy some stereotypes here, because I'm imagining some listeners are picturing, okay, it's going to be people who are really into church, or maybe it's all young people who aren't 21 yet. So what do you see when you look out among your patrons?
Yeah, it is more of adults within like the 30s, 40s, 50s range. We do get some young folks in. So because we can serve anyone, you know, we're in kind of homecoming time, we will get some like high schoolers in, and it's so fun to see them like all dressed up and have a positive space where they can feel fancy and grown up, but not actually be drinking alcohol. But for the most part, it is adults who just don't want to be around it. Maybe they don't drink because of their religion. But for a lot of them, it's just that they don't drink because it affects their medication, or because they're pregnant, or because they just want to drink less, lead a healthier lifestyle. But it's mostly adults that we get in there.
Chris, same question to you. When you look around, is it mostly people in recovery? Or you mentioned that, you know, you sometimes have kids parties in one portion of the space. What do you see? Who do you see coming into the establishment there?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got actually a large variety. And, you know, it during the day, we get a lot of business personnel, you know, 30 to 50 year old. They'll come in, they'll do business meetings. We offer light food items, so they come in and have a little lunch. And then it's for some of our events, you know, there's a mix, I'd say, from 25 to 35, depending, event pending. Sometimes it gets, you know, up to 45 to 50, depending on music selections and who's coming in. But there's days where you can walk out there and see a local business owner, at a lunch meeting, drinking mocktails, eating some food. And there's three guys that pull up on their motorcycles, full leather, come walking on in. You know, so there is a large variety of people that come in, and it's awesome to see that it the demographics are widespread, that there are so many people support it and utilize the space.
Mm-hmm. So Elizabeth, we're coming to the end of our time together. Now that the Wakery is off the ground, you've had some early success, as you described. What's next? Where do you go from here?
Well, we hope to keep that success going. I've had multiple people ask me to recreate this in other cities, people who have come in, you know, from St. Louis and will have a weekend that they spend in Springfield, literally just because they want to come to the Wakery, and have said, you know, we don't have anything like this here. Will you come and open one somewhere else? So I don't know, perhaps the future means that I will open more of these other places, since it is a trend that is ticking upward. And I think we're going to see more places like this open. So we definitely want to keep our events going. We do a lot of really cool events. We had an Edgar Allan Poe night the other night. So we do some cool events, some baby showers, bridal showers, lots of things. So I just want to keep growing and who knows, perhaps open another one soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of our producers noted the connection you mentioned with Isringhausen, which is a car dealership. Interesting that they're sponsoring a non-alcohol, or they, you know, help seed a non-alcoholic bar, given some of the issues that people have with drinking and driving. All right, Chris Jacob is general manager at The Other Side in Crystal Lake, and Elizabeth Wake owns The Wakery in Springfield. Chris, Elizabeth, thanks so much for being with us today on The 21st Show.
Thanks
for having me.
That's all we have time for today. Before we go, will you consider joining our texting group? You put the public in public radio. We love sharing your comments and questions on the show. You can join by sending the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, the word is TALK to 217-803-0730. We appreciate hearing from you about our programs and your suggestions for future guests or stories. Email us at talk@21stshow.org. You can find that address and every other way to contact us, including our voicemail line, on our website, which is 21stshow.org. That's 21stshow.org. We've also got our past segments there, and you can find links to subscribe to our podcasts, or just look us up on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Damian Contreras. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. Happy Valentine's Day. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.